Welcome to our Favorite Things podcast, hosted by your fave Nigerian best friend duo, Tiesa.
And your girl, Mo Fee. Our show is a space for Black folks in the diaspora and at home to feel warm, seen, and informed through conversations about life, community, and a bit of social critique.
Come for our faves, stay for the laughs.
Hey y'all, thanks for hanging with us on today's episode. How are you all doing? We've missed you. Yeah. I feel like we say that a lot.
Yes, it's been so long. It's honestly been so long. And I feel like we say this so many times now. But
we say this, yeah.
Yes.
We say this all the time, but hopefully y'all have missed us too. I think we have a nice episode for you today. So hopefully you think the same. But before we get into it, Mofi, how are you doing?
I am doing okay. I'm feeling a bit tired. I don't know if it's like the end of the year. I don't know, like, if it's just like coming to like November. It's the end of the year. It's November. We've done like, happy November, y'all, actually. We've done like 12 months, 11 months in this year. I think it's fair to say that it is the end of the year. To be honest.
Yeah, but I didn't realize, you know how you're like, you're tired. I thought you were saying, you know, you don't know if you feel like it's like the end of the week. You're like, it's the end of the year.
Yes, we're in the Ember month, so things already be feeling different. But I'm doing okay. I'm all right. I'm just chilling, really. What's going on in my life? I think I'm doing a lot of like job applications right now. So that's like...
Yeah, you are.
The most prominent thing, which I hate job apps, so meh, I should say, but trying to have a good time in the midst of all of the unexcitingness of like work life.
Oh, do you feel like job apps come easier to you?
No, I hate them. They've never come easy to me. I don't even know how to apply for work, so
nah, you'll be fine. But yeah, they're irritating. Resume, cover letter. I think I hate cover letters.
Like, honestly,
requirements.
Honestly, although I would say, as like somebody that like has employed folks, I really like, I prefer looking at cover letters because I'm like, I just want to see what you have to say. Like, okay. It's hard for me to read a resume because I feel like I have to like make sense of who you are and then.
Mm-hmm.
Come like and think about it in the context of my work, but with a cover letter, I'm able to read what you think you're going to bring, you know, with your skills. So I like reading cover letters, but I agree with you. I don't like writing them because I think they're stupid, but
yeah,
they help.
I feel like every time, like, I sit in on interviews at work, and the cover letter just never sounds like the person, right? Like, the person just sounds like this, I don't know, different person. And I feel like cover letters have like a generic way that they're supposed to sound, and I don't care for them. I don't like writing them. I don't like reading them. They're my least interesting part of like trying to interview people, actually, is cover letters.
So. Fair enough. How are you?
I am good. You know what? I'm feeling really tired too, but it's not the end of the year.
I told you guys, it's the end of the year, bruh.
It's not the end of the year that's stressing me out. Though that's crazy though, because I swear it was October 1st, and now
honestly,
November.
Yeah.
Where did October go? I would like it back. I would like some receipts.
No, we're good without October, Sha, but okay. Oh. I'm serious.
What's the reason? Do you care to share?
No. But it is wild. I'm so shocked that I've actually been in Nigeria for almost 3 months now. It feels like I just like literally just got to Nigeria. Like, August was just yesterday, and it's been 3 months.
Yeah, because that's how fast the time is flying, girl. Like, where is it all going to? Anyway, yeah, no, but I'm feeling tired because I had a really, really long week. It was one of those weeks where like I had to write for work, and those are my worst weeks because I feel so much imposter syndrome. Like when it comes to like knowing that people are going to read my writing, or that I have to turn in my writing for something important, like, you know, without giving much details, but like it's just an important proposal for work that I had to write a huge section of, and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not, I just kept telling myself I wasn't good at it. And anyway, ended up taking me way too long to do it. And it was just a hard week of doubting myself.
Oh, sorry, hon. It has to stop, literally, because you can, like, you write really, really well. So, like, hearing you say that you can't do this is mind-blowing to me, because I'm like, what? It's true. It's true.
So I think, like, I struggle with believing it. I struggle with believing in myself. Like, the external validation is nice, but I think I rely on it too much. So when I don't receive it at all, like, you know, because everybody, things are going on in other people's lives, they're just like, okay, great, like, thank you, like, on to the next one. I, you know, it doesn't help. But I shouldn't rely on that external validation. I think
that's what it is. Yeah, you definitely need to do some exercises and stuff to, like, find that inside of you. Because I feel like sometimes when people are good at stuff, that's even when they get a lot of imposter syndrome, you know, so I feel like you need to find that, because you are good at it, so it just needs to come from within. But I hope your week is better, Sha. Your next week is better.
I hope so, because I don't know how to write for anything. No, but yeah, it's just, can y'all tell my love languages words of affirmation? I've been needing it.
Speaking of love language, and even thinking of, like, what we're going to talk about today, which is essentially, like, Nigerian parents, Nigerian parenting, I'm just like, this is my least favorite. It's like my most favorite, not most favorite, but it's what I talk about, like, more often. And at the same time, it's like, sometimes I wish I just never really had to talk about Nigerian parents, because, like, they are literally the bane of my existence. Like,
you know what we should have done before starting the episode, Mufu? We should have given a trigger warning.
As in, literally,
Nigerian parents, just skip to the end.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the next 20 or so minutes of what we're about to talk about. It's not safe. It's not safe for your ears. Or, you know what? Maybe you should hear some of it.
No, like, if you're actually, like, a Nigerian parent that is, like, that, I don't know, wants to be a good human being, like, maybe you should listen to it. But I feel like if a Nigerian parent is listening to this podcast, then they've already surpassed that, because, like, which Nigerian parent would be listening to us right now? So, you know?
Yeah, true. They're not necessarily our demographic. So if you're here,
no,
like, you're already
X, like, why are you even here? Like, just leave the app, because you're trying to be nosy at this point.
This conversation is not for you, okay? We're here to commiserate with our fellow Nigerian kids.
Nigerian youth. But this week on Twitter, I think something that everybody was really talking about, and this week, I don't know, being the week of November 2nd-ish, where there was a kid, I believe a trans kid, that had shared a picture of herself and a conversation with her mom, and essentially her mom just saying, like, and much trigger warning for content warning for, like, harassment, abuse, like, just invalidation and all of the other words. But her mom saying, like, you know, this is not how I gave birth to you, your boy, all of these things. And, you know, that's where a lot of the conversation just went into.
Started.
And, you know, there were people talking about, you have to show grace to your parents, you have to show kindness, this is hard for them, yada, yada, yada. And obviously folks being like, nobody really cares. So where are you at when it comes to just thinking about, like, parenting and the role of, like, I guess our parents, your parents, Nigerian parents, as a group of people, in how they've brought up Nigerians up until this point?
Honestly, it's all really, really stressful. Like, that statement of, like, giving grace to your parents because, like, oh, this is huge for them, or, like, this is a big change. Okay, but, like, how many times through your life have they held space for you and, like, giving you grace? Like, they are the ones that should be giving you grace in this period, because like this is also like, what do parents think? Like their kids just, I don't know, want to, they're just out to get them, and they're like, mm-hmm. into so much, and so therefore like I'm going to be a certain way. Like, no, your kid, your child is who your child is, and they're a whole person, and you have to be willing to accept that. And I feel like my biggest problem with Nigerian parents is not letting their children be individuals.
Yeah.
And thinking that they need to live life by their parents' playbook. Mind you, this playbook, like, it's just like, it doesn't exist, right? It's like unwritten, but it's like they have all these rules and they have all these ways and these ideas that they feel like you should be. And once you don't fit into that, then how can you even possibly be their kid? Like, how can you be a quote-unquote good person? Like, what kind of life are you going to have if you didn't follow my rules? And like, there are all these rules, right? It's like, there are all these stipulations. You should do this like this. You should do this. You should do this. And you should do that. Says who? Like, says who? Who's making the rules? And like, why are we not even just having a discussion? Why are you just like, I said this, and so you have to do it this way? And it just builds a lot of resentment, because you have parents that are like treating their kids like shit, for lack of a better word, just because they don't understand something.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to, there's no space for you to talk about. What are you talking about? I disagree. Your parent disagrees, and that's that. That's where the buck stops. That's where the conversation ends. So I just struggle a lot, because I'm just like, should some of you even have been having children? Because like, it seems like it was just a lot of having children because you can, and like not actually knowing what it entails to raise a separate human being. Like, this is going to be a separate human being with their own thoughts, with their own lived experiences. And you have to understand that.
Yeah. I think that's what they don't like the most, is this idea of like, you are your own person, you know, you have your own thoughts, you can like dissent, you can have dissenting ideas, you know, you can have your own point of view. And I think that's what really, really, really stresses them out the most. Yeah. And
because those points of views don't align, right? Like, your parents can think you're having your own point of view as long as it agrees with theirs. It's
yeah,
and my child is so great, is so smart, is so mm-hmm. good, is so bad, but all you mean mm-hmm. is that they're just doing everything you
they
want
think to. Like me,
they think
like yeah me. Exactly. No, it's wild, because I feel like, for me, I just think like, the reason why sometimes I don't even want to think about them, because it's such like, the word I always use to describe it is that it's just exhausting. Like, it feels like such an exhausting relationship to be in, if I'm being honest, at least for me. Sorry, like not the entirety. I feel like I need to put like a disclaimer, because I feel like for whatever reason, anyways, not the entirety of the relationship, but I think about the parent-child dynamic, I actually find it quite exhausting.
Because
you have like, it's the idea that you can be your own person is what tires me the most. Because if there's any in my dynamic in my household, if there are times where, I'll give you an instance, a true instance, that mm-hmm. my little sister is thinking of coming to, I'm like, not thinking, the plan is that she always comes to Nigeria for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen tickets to Lagos from America right now, it's ridiculous. It's fucking expensive. You know, like, I've never, like, even me, if I was in Canada right now and I really wanted to come to Nigeria, as much as I love it, and I saw those tickets and somebody is even trying to buy them for me, I'd be like, actually, no. Don't worry about it, because that's ridiculous. Yeah. So anyways, I called my dad being like, have you seen those ticket prices? Like, and the first thing he was just like, no, Fini, don't start this. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, don't start what?
Nothing has even happened yet.
Nothing has happened. Like, there's no even space for us to have like a conversation about money, about like, okay, what is important right now? Nothing. It's like already viewed as this like antagonistic approach, because I'm coming to say something that maybe you think like that's not what you want to hear. Yeah. You know.
Yeah,
and it's already a challenge.
Yeah, they're like, okay, she's coming to challenge me, because she's definitely coming to like discuss something and we're going to have different views. So don't bring all that to you.
don't just try it. Exactly. Don't bring your discussion. I find it so tiring because I'm like, what kind of relationship is this?
What kind of relationship is it? No, it's true. Like, everything seems argumentative. It's like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call myself an argumentative person, but sometimes the way my friends have made me feel like all I want to do is argue. I'm like, am I arguing or am I just offering a different opinion?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't want to hear it does not make it an argument. And even if it is an argument, like, okay, fine. Like, let's argue about it. Like,
exactly.
Let's even give it that much, like, attach that much worth to it. Like, let's have an argument. But then there's also the idea that, like, you can't possibly be arguing with your child.
Yeah. Yeah, or, like, that makes parenting, that makes them less in some ways as parents because then they've lost, like, sense of authority.
Yeah, that power is, you're messing up the power imbalance.
Mm-hmm. No, it's exactly that.
You should not be able to, like, we should not be able to be talking back and forth, like,
literally. And something to that is that I've seen a lot of people, and I know my parents, I have two parents, so one of my parents kind of shares a sentiment around, like, this notion of sending people abroad. And it's like, when you send people abroad, is what, like, is this like, wow, like, whoa, I should not have done this. I've made this, like, major mistake.
It was a very bad parenting decision to send their kids abroad. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, abroad now, like, that's where all the bad things happen.
Right. That's where you lose yourself. That's where you learn so many things.
All these things. It's very American. All these things, you went to America, you just changed. I don't think it was America that changed me. I think I was just always this person.
Literally. And, like, also, can we just, like, take in the fact that I was a child? Like, I feel like sometimes I try to, like, put perspective for my parents and be like, I've just grown up or, like, whatever. Because, like, I was literally a child. Like, I was 16 by the time I left your household and now I'm 27. So, like, can you also factor in the fact that, like, I also just grew up and maybe have my own perspectives?
What does that mean to them? As far as I'm concerned, at 27, you're still 16. Right, like, you know, the times I told my mom, like, you know, like, I'm now this age and, like, blah blah blah, she's like, I don't care, you can be 40. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter how much you think you've grown up, you have to listen to me. And I really struggle with that.
For me, it's even one thing to be like, I have to listen to you because you have to know that I will not listen to you. But also the fact that, like, I've become this entire, like, my mom always refers to this, you know, not the fiend that I had a vision about. And I'm just like, that girl was 7 years old. Yeah. Like, at some point, you're going to have to let that person go.
Yeah.
And look at me, like, the person that's right in front of you, because I'm sorry, like, even me, Seraphine, that was 7, I would love to be her because, like, the girl had no worries, like, literally.
I swear.
So, like, where can I find it?
What do you think makes it so hard for them? Okay, just to come in from a different perspective, like, what do you think makes it so hard for Nigerian parents? And, you know, maybe this happens with parents in general, but this is our context, both of our parents are Nigerian. What makes it so hard for them to accept their children for who they are, you know, to the individualities of that person and to even embrace it, right? This is a person who you can learn from, right? The same way that they can learn from you, you can learn from them. Like, you can have a stronger relationship, a stronger connection if you're just willing to kind of get past your, I don't know, I don't know what it is. Like, what is it? Could we have gotten an Nigerian parent on the line to discuss? Because, like...
Calling a Nigerian parent. Actually, Anya, looking, no, she wasn't talking about Nigerian parents. I think she was talking about, like, more of corporal punishment and how do parents now, take care of their kids without, like, corporal punishment. Anyways, I digress. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say is that,
I feel like
that's a whole ass other conversation. But I mean, I feel like it's a couple of things, and maybe from one perspective of trying of like, I don't know, like, I guess like some of it is protection. Like, I think that they want to protect in their mind. Sometimes they want to protect their kids. They want to, like, they've lived this path. So they want to tell you what you shouldn't be doing because, like, they already have an idea. And maybe that is their role as a parent, as a mother, as a dad, to want to, like, make your life a bit easier. At least that's what my parents say. So, I think there's that. And, like, you know, the fact that maybe you always be a child literally to them. I think in some ways, I think that's problematic. Sure, I'm not going to lie, because you have to be able to see me as an adult. You can't always continue to infantilize me and be like, you're always going to be a child. You know, and that doesn't give you space to, like, abuse me or, like, disrespect me, because, like, to you, I'm always a child. Like, hell no, please.
Exactly, because let's even talk about what seeing infantilizing you, the result of it is. It's not as if I'm, like, you know, getting lots of money and everything I want. It's like,
God, speak on it. Then give me the money.
Give me the money. You're treating me like a child in that you do not trust me to make decisions for myself, because the decisions I'm making for myself, you're like, what the hell is this? Okay, you brought up that thing about, like, you know, wanting to protect, and I agree with that, because, like, they've gone through certain things in life. But what happens when the playbook, like, there's some things they haven't gone through.
Exactly.
They haven't experienced everything just because you're my parent. My context is so much different from yours. Like, look at us, we moved to North America at 16. And we're pretty much living on our own since then, living away from our parents. Actually, we've been living away from our parents since we were 10.
Since we were 10 years old. And if we tell my parents, my mom, this, she would die, because she'd be like, and then are you blaming me? And I'm like, sis, I don't know what to tell you at this point.
It's not blaming, but it's just like, you guys should.
It's just a matter of fact.
It's a matter of fact that, like,
yeah,
look at all of these reasons why, like, we might be so, like, able to, like, have our own opinions and, like, want to, like, discuss things with you and just, like, or seem different, because what did you really know? You knew me from the age of, you know, 1 to 10, and since then I've been in boarding school, and then I don't know, life is just moved on. And, like, were you keeping up with me while that was happening? Or were you like, this is my sweet 9-year-old baby, and why is she acting like this? Because your 9-year-old baby became an 18-year-old girl. Like, do you understand how her life has, what things might have changed in her life, and how you also have to change to be somebody who's kept taking care and guiding as a parent?
Yeah, I think it's also, it's a lot of the culture here. And I think that's why, like, some parents, like, really detest or feel so upset, like, when their kids leave Nigeria and then come back with, like, different perspectives, or even, like, just boldness. And just to say that it also happens to many kids that live in Nigeria. So it doesn't really, really, really have a lot to do with, like, leaving Nigeria, if I'm being 100%. But at the same time, I think that when you look at the fabric of our country, when you look at, I think even when, like, you know, going back to colonization and then thinking of democracy, and a lot of our parents, at least in our age group ish, our parents were like, they were growing up right after, like, we got independence. So I think that the fabric of our country in many ways is very, like, obedient. It's very like,
You don't challenge.
There's morality that people are trying to, like, appease to, especially in a whiteness type of first, in a whiteness way. You know,
appeal to it on a surface level too, right?
It's very performative. Perform
the morality.
Exactly. And those are a lot of things that they grew up with, and that's how they lived a lot of their lives. So it's very hard for them to see like in my opinion, like no tea, no shade, but it's very hard for them to see freedom. And freedom in some kind of sense is like radical acceptance. It's like letting go of all of these performances and just being and allowing people to just like exist. And I think many of them have not even been able to accept that for themselves. There's many Nigerian parents that till today they're performing something. Like I like no tea, no shade, but I know my mom does it a lot. She's performing something one way or the other, one day or the other moment. There's a performance that's happening. And I think that to be able to give that to somebody else, you have to accept it for yourself. And I think that that's where the challenge is. That like sometimes even when I say things like I'm locking my room because I want this boundary, it's like, what do you mean? Because they've never been able to see that you can just want this for yourself. And that doesn't mean that it has anything to do with you, or doesn't mean I'm disrespecting you, doesn't mean I don't like you, doesn't mean I don't want to spend time with you, but I'm just taking space for me, you know, and I'm just curating this, you know. So I think for me, Sha, that's what I would attempt, like that's how I would break down why it's so hard for them, is because every single day they are performing. So if your child comes out as queer, if your child comes out as trans, if your child says they're atheist, if your child says they're dropping out of school, it's so hard for many parents because to accept like
it tears down the facade, right? It's like whoa, this is not perfect, like, oh, you know, in the ways in which Nigerian families want to appear perfect, this goes so against that. What they have piercings, they do this, like at the end of the day, what really is, like, if you actually interrogate certain things, like, you know, sometimes I ask my mom, I'm like, okay, let's talk about what the issue behind this thing is. So XYZ was a third piercing. Now, what is the issue? Like, let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah, you don't look professional. It's too much. It's too, for whom? Exactly. It's like, it's because of another person at the other end of the story that you're making.
What will this person think?
Well, exactly. What would they see? How would they interpret you? Not like how are you interpreting yourself? How am I interpreting you as your mother or as your parent? And if anybody says anything, I can say, that's my child. Oh, Afin, don't worry, Afin, she's different. Or whatever you even want to like own it, even if to you it's still out. I'm like, that's my daughter, or that's who she is. Simple. Nobody can come for you or anybody.
Who wants to talk? You know, there was something that my mom did when I was younger, and I think, you know, because she used to dress us in like shorts and like crop tops and like, you know, things that people would consider like exposing things for little girls. And I remember her, like, you know, somebody calling that out and my mom being like, you know, standing up for us in some way. I can't remember what exactly it was that she said. And I'm like, sometimes I look back on that. And I love that so much because she was like, who cares? Like, they're little girls wearing clothes. Like, get out of here. Like, and I sometimes I kind of wish they would apply that to a whole lot of other things, right? But, like, that was something that, like, she could understand because my mom kind of went out of the norm in terms of what people thought a woman who has kids should dress like. So, like, if you don't already accept it for yourself, then how do you, how are you then able to do that for your kids? But my mom was already in a place where she's so confident in how she used to dress. Was her business if people thought her dress was too short, and she was able to, you know, do that for her kids as well. So, like, even as I grew up, like, you know, I don't have to hide if I'm wearing a mini skirt out of the house, like that type of thing. So I'm just like, but I guess for them, like, it would be so much to untangle for them. It would be so much to, that's like how they live. That's literally like has been their existence for a lot of Nigerian parents.
And I think that's why people then always come back to say, like, show them grace because this is who they are and this is all of these things. Like, it's going to take you lots to unlearn that. And to some extent, I can agree-ish where I think that it might not always be, like, it might not, for some parents, it might not always come to the other end. It might be some dance in the middle, you know, some dance. And at the same time, I think that the onus and the power to always, like, show grace should not always be on the people that are victimized in certain moments. Like, and I think for me, that's a distinction. Like, who's holding power? Who's going through harm? Who's experiencing harm? And why should this still be that person that has to extend when truly and honestly it's possible and I can't go into this deeply, mm-hmm. but like when I even think of like the roles that Christianity plays, is that truly impossible? Truly and honestly, it's possible to see people and just love them for who they are, you know. And even if you think that whatever, their souls are doomed and all of these things, like, yeah, whatever, but it is really, really possible. And I think that's what really, like, sometimes feels very, like, sad or really heartbreaking. And especially when I think of many queer kids, many trans kids, like, life just becomes unnecessarily difficult because parents are, like, unnecessarily hateful, you know, because your child is not... Because your child is not existing in a way that you thought they were going to exist. Yeah, so it's just really heartbreaking because I know that, like, in my mind, I'm like, this is possible. Like, it should not even take so much. It really should not take so much. And so many people, so many parents, so many loved ones really, really go out of their way to really harm kids, to really, like, put kids in spaces that are not safe. In my mind, like, there can be space for people to talk about the grace, but I think it's very, very important to really talk about, like, the impacts and really break down the roots of all of these like problematic behaviors.
Yeah, because it's not just giving grace. Okay, at whose expense, right? It's like you're giving grace and then you're just like, okay, I'm gonna allow you space to continue harming me. Like, and then is that where we end it? Just because, like, you know, let's understand that it's not something that they can easily wrap their heads around. Okay, but you know what you can easily wrap your head around? Loving your child. I think you can easily wrap your head around that if you claim to already do. So why don't you just start there?
To Nigerian parents out here, me, I'm just like, the world is changing. So you either begin to adapt or you get left behind, really and truly. And it's going to get to a point where you'll be a parent and you'll be talking and yelling and saying, no, you're not, and you can't, and it's going to get to a point where your kids are going to be able to, and your kids are going to tell you, I am. And it's either you get on or really you get left behind, and that would be left to you to reckon with, like, and that would be a choice that you've made. So I think that people, like, when I think of parenting, when I even think of us, or many people that are like us that might be parents, it's like, at the end of the day, you just have to take yourself out of it and just let people take be and look at and love people how they want to be loved, not how you think they should be loved. And in my opinion, that's why we're here on this planet. So
I love that. Period. I mean, we'd like to hear from you guys too, like, on anything that we've spoken about. Like, leave us a comment on our Instagram page when we post about the episode, or send us a tweet, like, at Our Fave Pods. What do you think about all of this, and where do you stand on this, like, I don't know, opinion of Nigerian parents? Y'all, here's a list of our favorite things. Mofi, do you want to take us in?
So something I've been watching, I've watched recently, is Colin Kaepernick's new limited series about his life. It's called Colin in Black and White. It's pretty interesting, very quick watch. Enjoyed it. If you want to learn a little bit about Colin Kaepernick's life,
Netflix.
Yes, it's on Netflix. I just started reading this book called Oga Dima by Ukamaka Olisakwe. And I've seen people, I've seen a few folks on Instagram talk about it. It's a book set in Nigeria in the 1850s, which I'm not really a fan of
books. And I'm like, that's making me excited. I'm like, whoa, I really want to read that. I love
period stuff. So I started reading it. Seems interesting. So if anybody is looking for a book to read, join me. And then I also started watching this Netflix movie called The Harder They Fall. So it's like a black cowboy movie with, like, Regina King, Idris Elba, so many people that I'm blanking on right now. Like Kate Stanfield. Yes. And so far it's looking really good. That's what I'm up to. That's what I've been enjoying.
Nice. Same in terms of, like, watching stuff. I just started this show Love Life on HBO, and I wish you were in Canada so you could watch it, because I think you'd actually like it is like this, like more realistic depiction of like kind of like dating and like being in relationship, and it like has some rom-com leanings, but I think it definitely leans more realistic, where like to the point where we're watching one episode and like we actually had to pause because we're like so uncomfortable. We're like, okay, this is like hitting a little too close to home. Like it just felt very like real, like okay, you could be going through this right now. So anyway, really good. Love Life on HBO. It has season one and two. I think season two is currently airing. So if you are interested in that kind of thing, check it out. I've been enjoying. Another thing I've been enjoying is this album I've had on repeat. It's called Pink Planets by this person called, I don't know if it's Pink Sweats or if it's Pink Sweat Dollar Sign. Please don't call for me if you're hip with things.
Wow. Okay.
Like, is the dollar sign meant to be an S or is it dollar sign?
I'm so embarrassed. Oh God.
I'm honestly embarrassed for me, and I can't believe I said it out loud, because until today I haven't said it out loud. I've just don't say the artist's name.
Oh my God.
Really, really good album. I've had it on repeat for like 2 weeks now and I love it. Those are my things. All right. Thank you all for hanging with us. If you've gotten to this point, we really appreciate you. If you didn't fast forward through our ad, we even appreciate you more. If you'd like to keep up with our episodes, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen. We're there at Our Favorite Things, and favorites is spelled with a U. We're also on Instagram and Twitter, where we share updates about episodes and when we launch new episodes or publish new episodes. We're there at Our Fave Pod. So, you know, give us a follow, leave us a comment, send us a DM, tell us how much you enjoy our episodes. Mofi, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter, Emma Miss Badmus, and same on Instagram, Miss Badmus, and Mofi's book collection.
Yes, check Mofi out on Instagram. Her monthly dumps are my favorite thing. I look forward to them. I added them to my highlights list, actually. I really look forward to them. They're so cute. y'all can find me on Instagram. I'm there at Tiese, that's TIIESE. Same thing on Twitter. And also read my travel blog, samefootprints.com. Until next time, y'all, stay safe and don't forget to find something to be grateful for.
Bye.